You are listening to the Rainmakers Power Hour. Join your hosts, Wendy Butler, Leanne Nguyen, and Macy Nelson, as they interview the most successful entrepreneurs from around the world who are sharing their proven strategies to help take your business to the next level.
Welcome, everyone, to the Rainmakers Power Hour here on Chatter. We do this every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. If you're not on Chatter and you're watching this through X or YouTube or however you're watching it, you just missed the whole pregame with Ben. The pregame was A on point. You just missed it. That's okay. We got plenty for you tonight. But again, before you tune in next week, get Chatter because we absolutely love that you're watching us on YouTube and all the different media outlets. But if you want to get in the conversation and talk to our guest firsthand, only one way to do that, and that is Chatter. Plus, you get the pregame, and sometimes there's some juicy nuggets in that. So join us next week on Chatter. Now, with our host, as always, is the beautiful Wendy Butler, and I call her Credit Ninja. I think a lot of people do, but Leanne Nguyen, and I am Macy Nelson, and Wendy and Credit are going to take this thing over because I will tell you what, we are all chomping at the bits to get in with Ben because he's always good, already given us some juicy details. But Wendy, who do we need to thank for bringing Ben on to tonight, first of all?
Yes, I know everybody's anxious to hear Ben, but we want to give a big shout out to our wonderful sponsors, Smarter Aircraft, the next generation in private aviation investment, smarteraircraft.com. If you are interested in learning about getting into private jet investments, that's who you need to talk to, Ollie Bigler, who is in the house tonight. Also, we have William and Harry Golf, the luxury brand Exotic Golf Shoes. Take your game to the next level, williamandharry.com. So thank you to our sponsors. We appreciate them and all that they do for us. But without further ado, we're going to have Credit introduce Ben tonight. Go ahead, Credit.
All right. Thank you, Wendy. Thank you, Macy. And it is an exciting episode of Rainmakers Power Hour on Chatter here. And this is an exciting guest for me because I know Ben personally. Let me pronounce his last name. It's Coleman Cool. Okay. Coleman Cool. And he is someone I met on social media on a social audio app, which is Clubhouse. And now he's here on Chatter live and in video. So this is something that's the next level experience. Let me give you a little background about Ben. He's a trusted travel expert. So what are you thinking? Why trust it? He's someone that has been through the whole travel game, has been through the whole journey, has done the hotel experience, and it's all luxury. And it's all through points and experiences. And he's built such a big, really big network in the travel space. He's been in this passion project, he calls it, since 2015. That's 10 years. And as a business traveler, you know, in the last 10 years, he has earned like top tier status at all the top Hyatt. Like, he actually turned me on to Hyatt. I just want to let you know, I was with Marriott Ambassador for a while. And he said, Leanne, why don't you try Hyatt? I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. He goes, just give it a shot. And at that time, there was something called status match, which he's going to go over in a little bit because I don't want to take that limelight from him. And there's all these different hacks to be able to become like high status on this Hyatt experience. And I was able to status match in 3 weeks, the highest status on there called Globalist, through the help of Ben. And then, of course, American Airlines is one of his favorites. And he'll tell you why, because of all of its relationship with other airlines and so forth. So he's going to go through and show his passion on how to use points, travel points and miles, but also maximizing all the benefits that is earning through elite status. And also through his journey, he's lived all over the place. And his focus right now is in Thailand. He's going to talk about how are people moving over to Thailand? And what are some of the advantages of being able to travel and also live over there? And how far your US dollar can go? So with that, I want to go ahead and land this plane, this private jet plane I'm on, and yield a mic to Ben Coleman Cole. Go ahead, Ben. Welcome to Chatter. Welcome to Rainmaker.
Thank you. This is such an upgrade from the last time we did something social audio. And I think this is like the coolest thing out there. Thank you. This is like bringing all the video, the live, the community, the audio, all of it together. So I'm so excited to be here today to share with you. So I was just we were kind of chatting earlier with Macy. I said, Macy, you have accumulated a lot of miles. And I think this is what happens to a lot of people early on. When they first get started in points miles, they're accumulating because they're already spending the money anyway. So I think today what I wanted to do in my first slide was kind of talk about how we can turn our daily expenses that you and I already have and how we can turn that into travel using our points for free instead of using our cash. Now, it doesn't mean that you should never use cash ever again, but it means that you're going to have opportunities when it makes sense to use your points. So here's my philosophy. I'll start off right off the bat. First early philosophy, number one, when the cash ticket is low, whether that's hotel or airlines, I would just use cash. If it's super cheap, like you got the best deal to me, Macy, I would say use your cash, okay? But when it gets really expensive, let's say, for example, I'm trying to go Los Angeles to Vegas or LA to Phoenix, okay? And that's a short flight. And you normally would see maybe $200, $250. But now today you're seeing $400, $500 for that ticket. That's when you should be using points, because points prices are outside of what the cash price is. It's like an alter universe. So when you find cash rates that are really high, that's when you turn to points. Macy, have you ever had that situation? You're going, it should not normally cost this much and it's really high. And when it does, that's when. So if you want to know when should I use points, it's when in those situations all the time.
So what's the dollar value? Where do you see it where you think it's 20% higher than it's supposed to? Or is there a certain dollar value that you're going to switch to from cash to points?
So points actually has a dollar value. Like there's actually, it's not free. Because not all points are created equal. You probably heard from a past speaker talk about that. Like not all points are created equal. So let me kind of clarify with this. Maybe we'll go into my first slide. I don't know, Nigel, can we kind of go into my first slide? I think I wanted to show first before we got started a little bit about, okay, you know what? I'll start off with this. Let me just start off with this. How many, okay, this is going to be a controversial topic I'm going to bring right now. It's going to be a sore spot for a lot of people, okay? I already know they're going to, when they hear this, they're just going to get mad at me. Okay. The first thing is this. Are you a Delta fangirl or fanboy? Okay. I know.
Guilty.
Friend of yours, I know Wendy.
Okay,
okay.
Guilty.
Okay. So my first slide, if you look the next slide, Nigel, if you can go the next slide over, the one with Delta. Okay. Delta, I'll start off with this. They are the friendliest airline. They have the best domestic lounges. They have the best business class Delta One lounges. No question. Nobody in the world of points and miles is ever going to question that. Okay, that is the truth. However, when it comes to the points, their points are not valuable. So here's a problem. You run into, I want to fly them. And then you earn all these really not valuable points. And so sometimes you hear people say it's not worth to collect it. It's worthless. In fact, sometimes they call Sky Miles Sky Pesos. Okay. I'm just going to tell you how it is. So what happens is people's experiences, it doesn't make sense for me to go earn all these points and things like that. I think Delta doesn't have to. They don't have to make their points valuable. You know why? Because people are going to fly them irregardless if their points are good or bad. People like the experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
100%. Okay. Yes. So I'm going to come back to this later. And I'm going to get to hotels eventually. But I just want to start off with this, because everything that you think is true is not necessarily what's true when it comes to points miles. So here's the second part of it. If you say to me, Ben, but I do want to fly Delta. I'm not interested in flying. I heard you mention American, but I'm not interested in flying American. I'd rather fly Delta than American. Listen, I totally get that. But I'm going to share this first, and I'll come back to this later. You don't have to earn Delta miles to fly Delta. Let me repeat. You don't have to earn Delta miles to fly Delta. You can earn another one of the miles, and it's because it's an airline associate. It's an international airline that's associated with Delta. I don't know if you know this, but Delta has bought an investment in Virgin Atlantic. They put money in Air France. They bought a bunch of other airlines, and all those airlines that they invested in and their partners with, you can use their miles to buy a Delta flight. And if you do, you're going to pay half the price that Delta's charging. Wow. So you can get two for one. Two for one. Would you rather pay $300,000 to fly Delta One, or rather pay $90,000 Virgin Atlantic points or Flying Blue points, which are from Air France? So I'll just start off with that. I'm not going to get yet into all the nitty-gritty of it, but I just want to let everybody know up front, you don't have to earn the miles of the airline you're flying. You can earn another miles. Okay, let's go to the next page. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, some of you may be Delta flyers. You're like, Delta's way too bougie for me. Okay, let me just kind of talk a little bit about Southwest right now. For many of you who are flying Southwest, if you haven't flown them in the last 6 months, you're going to get a rude awakening because they are becoming like every other airline now. Meaning the best thing about flying Southwest is that it's easy. That's really the reason why people fly Southwest, is because it's easy. And what I mean it's easy is that you don't have to worry about the seat selection, because everybody, you get on board, you pick whatever seat you want, first come, first serve. You can book, you know, you can get on a plane and you don't have to worry about bags because they check bags for free, right? You can bring carry-on for free. You can make a change. It is so easy. That's coming to an end. Starting in June already, they're already charging for bags. It's $45 for the first bag, $60 for the second, $100 for the third. So free bags are done. That day is already over. Seat selection, they're going to start charging for seat selection like everyone else, and that starts on January the 1st of this coming year. I anticipate there by next year, they're going to add an extra legroom seat, but if they're going to make everybody else in the rest of the plane get smaller legroom. Like right now, it's 32 inches. It's pretty good. But it'll probably come down to 30 inches is what I anticipate. So they're trying to become like a regular airline, but they are not a regular airline. Why? They have no first class. They don't serve meals. They have no lounge. Does it make sense? Like, they want to be like everyone else, and they want to charge everyone else, but they don't want to have yet everything that everyone else has. So I think if you're a Southwest flyer right now, you're thinking about doing something else right now, unless you don't mind paying all the extra fees and not getting any of the other benefits. So that's my thing about. And then plus, here's the other thing about Southwest. I flew Southwest a lot, but I only flew Southwest when it was close by. If I had to fly across country and that was my airline of choice, you are stopping a lot of places and you're not going to get a lot of perks out of it. They also don't have any partners. Remember I told you Delta had partners around the world? Southwest doesn't. They have one that's coming up, and that's called Iceland Air. So hopefully you can be able to use it for Iceland, but outside of that, that's not going to really help you very much, okay? Can we go to the next slide? Okay. I'm going to start with this, and this is going to be my first path of earning points. And Macy, you mentioned you had millions of points. I'm going to start with this. The banks have a relationship with every airline and every hotel, the banks. So they're the customer of the airline. They're the customer of the hotel. I just want to make this really, really clear. The banks are the customer of the airline, not you. Not you. You know why? Because you're not buying miles. Macy, out of all those miles you own, did you ever purchase the miles? Did you ever say, I'm going to go out there and buy miles? No, right? You don't buy the miles. You know who's buying the miles? The banks are buying the miles. The banks are buying the miles from the airlines. The banks are buying the miles from the hotel. And when you swipe their credit card, their co-branded credit card, like a Hilton, a Marriott, IHG, or a Hyatt, or any other brand, you're earning points that the bank has bought. So it's airline sells miles to bank. Bank gives you credit card. You swipe credit card. You earn points from credit card. Does that make sense? Everyone gets so far? Okay. So the banks have decided, why should the airlines and the hotels make all the money? Because right now the banks are buying millions of miles a month, a day, from these airlines. So you know what they did? They created their own program. They created their own points. And they said, Hyatt, Marriott, and IHG all have a deal with Chase. So Chase created their own points and said, we're going to create the ultimate reward. We're going to create the points that we can go to any one of our partners. So that kind of competes now with their own partners. Does that make sense?
Wow. Yes. Okay.
Amex has done the same thing with airlines. Amex says, we have 26 airlines. Let's create our own points program, and our points could become any of the airlines that are our partners. So instead of just earning one airline mile, you can earn one bank mile. So when we started with this, the bank points is where you should start your journey instead of starting with an airline hotel. Now, most people don't start that way. Most people get their on the airline and they're on the plane and say, oh, this is a great flight. And the flight attendant offers you a great bonus on the plane. And then you fill out the application and you get approved in the mail a few weeks later. You get a credit card and now you're swiping it all the time. So now you got all these Delta miles. You got all these United miles. You got all these Southwest miles. That's how most people get exposed and they don't understand the whole ecosystem. So I want everyone to take a step back. I don't care what your balance is. It doesn't matter if you have a million Delta miles already or, you know, and whatever. I want you to step back because here's the thing. You can get to a million bank points and that's going to be better for you. You know why? Here's the reason why. When you're ready to make a redemption, you're not going to make a redemption because it's the airline you normally fly. You're going to make the best redemption because that fits your schedule. You're going to make the best redemption because that's the day you want to fly. So having a bank point will allow you to have more options because wouldn't you rather have 26 airline programs rather than just one?
Absolutely, yeah.
And unfortunately, the biggest challenge that people have with it right now in earning just one airline program or one hotel program is that they just have one. And now what happens when they don't have availability? What happens when they don't have the dates that you want to fly? What happens when that airline says, sure, well, you can redeem your points, but it's going to cost you 300,000 points and you don't have 300,000 points. Or when you're ready to make a redemption and they tell you got to do a layover of 11 hours and overnight in Dallas and you don't want to do that. And that's what happens when you start down that road and you have no choices. So my first point is you need to earn bank points. If you're going to start this journey, earn bank points. So what's a bank point? That's a point that's earned from the bank. That's a Chase Ultimate Reward. That's Amex Membership Rewards points. That is Citi Thank You points. That's Capital One points. And there's a new player in the field called Bilt Rewards, B-I-L-T, Bilt Rewards. That's another one. So those are the five that I would recommend people start their journey in. Now, if you already have some airline miles and hotel, that's fine. Keep it. So let's talk about what happens next. The next or the intermediate is to actually get an airline mile. So if you, Macy, what are most of the miles that you have? You said you have all these miles. What are they?
I have almost 2 million in Amex, and then I have almost 2 million in Hilton. And okay. I have some Delta, but mainly those two.
Okay. So Amex, you're good. Okay. For airlines. That's great for airlines because they got like 20 plus of them. Your Hilton, I'm going to farther down, are hotel points. Can you get down to the bottom, the very last slide? Nigelon, do you think you can get the very last slide or the second to last slide? There's a pyramid that I have. I want to show this pyramid for a second. Right there, that pyramid right there. Okay, here's a pyramid of points. So you got the bank programs at the top. Then you can move them down and transfer them to an airline. And then you can also move the bank program to a hotel. So all the banks, not only can their points become airlines, but they can also become hotels. So you got either airlines or you got hotels. I'll just kind of cut to the chase a little bit here. If you are trying to transfer to hotels, most hotel programs are worth less than 1 cent. You don't really want to make a redemption less than 1 cent. Let me just tell you why. Because even if you cashed out the point and you didn't use it for travel, you at least get 1 cent. So if you can get out for cash for 1 cent, why would you want to redeem it for a point that's less than 1 cent, okay? So this is the conversation I had with credit with Leanne at the time, which was if you collected Hilton, which is 0.5 cent, IHG, which is 0.6 of a cent, Marriott, which is 0.7 of a cent, there's only one hotel, there's only two hotel programs that their points are worth more than 1 cent. Hyatt's worth at least 1.5, and then Accor is worth 2 cents per point. So the two programs are worth more than 1 cent is Accor and Hyatt. Outside of that, everything's worth less. So from my perspective, I'd rather have you redeem it for airline than for hotels. If you're using, here's what some people do. They use all their points to redeem for airlines, and then they use all their cash and book hotels. That's one way to do it, okay? Because then they can get the most out of their points. So you thought I'm going to come here and talk about how great hotel programs are. There are. But I would say that Marriott, IHG and Hilton, all of them are worth less than 0.5 cent or worth half a cent or under 1 penny. I would not spend a lot of time earning those points. Okay.
Hey, so, and Ben, I want to stop you right there because this is a really important point. People normally ask, how do I accumulate these bank points? And so I want to pop in real quick because Ben and I have these conversations a lot. when it's all planning and strategy. Okay. So when you're like, say, for example, Amex, you want to be able to get some points, really strategize and find out which credit cards give you the most sign up bonus. Okay. So they're going to have like 200,000 sign up American Express points to sign up for this particular card. Like maybe it's an Amex business, whatever it is. Really game plan. Think in your mind, if I need to hit a certain spend, like 10,000 or 3,000, whatever it is, put everything on that card to get the points and make sure you put down the date that the offer expires. I see so many times, Ben's seen this too, where you got a credit card offer and you want to hit that bonus point and people are like past due. They didn't even hit it because it expired and they did not get the point. They're short by $20 or something like that. So really think about, like, look at all the offers. And of course, contact Ben. He has all the credit card offers there that you can apply for. And they have those bonus points. That's a really good way to accumulate points. Secondly, when you already become a member, they in their app, it says refer friends to get points. That's another way to accumulate more points. And I have gotten hundreds of thousands of points just from saying, hey, Susie, you want my link? And I'm sending links all day. You can post it on Instagram. They may tap you out at a certain point, but trust me, by the time you get a few hundred thousand points worth of referrals on each of the cards that you have, you'll hit a million like Macy. So I just, the reason why I want to talk about that is, everyone's like, well, I'll never get a million. Trust me, it adds up, but you got to have some strategy behind it. Do you agree, Ben? Because when you're building bank point, you got to talk about that. Then you can spend it.
I totally agree. By the way, I want to make mention too, because the points are not worth as much with Hilton, they will offer very large welcome bonuses. Like we're talking like 150,000, 200,000 I've seen sometimes. Actually, one thing I would say this about hotels, since we're going to get into hotels, in a second. Can we go back up to the very top of the slide again? But I want to kind of talk a little bit about hotels for a second. But one thing, a great thing about hotels is that sometimes they offer you free night certificates. Macy, have you ever gotten a free night certificate?
Yes.
The Hilton free night certificate, absolutely the best hotel certificate in all the points of miles. Hilton has the best. No one has a better one because they have no limit. Meaning that you can use it for a Garden Inn and a Hampton Inn, or you can use it a Waldorf Astoria in Maldives that costs $2,000 a night. For them, their one night could be redeemed for a $90 night or a $2,000 night. It is the most craziest thing, Macy. I don't know if you have one of those from the credit cards.
Oh, she's a Hilton fan.
But what the point I'm trying to make is this. If you get a new card, and I think credit Leanne mentioned is, if you get a new card, and you do have one, I would keep the card just for the free night certificate. I have a lot of hotel cards, and I keep the card because they give me a free night. So you may go, well, how does that work out? They'll usually give you some type of limit, with the exception of Hilton. But they'll usually say it's 40,000 points or 15,000 points with Hyatt. So a 15,000 point at Hyatt is like 40,000 points at a Intercontinental. And those hotel programs will allow you to redeem it. I'm here tonight at a Marriott on a free night certificate too. So I will earn a free night certificate and then I'll use them when it makes sense, when I don't want to pay cash. So if the hotel room normally runs, let's say for example, $150 and I see $150, and you know what? You hit the Friday, you hit the Saturday, and or there's some kind of event going on. And now that $150 a night, boom, it goes up the next night to $300. Have you ever seen that where it's like, $150 one night is $300. Macy, when do you think I want to use a free night certificate? When I don't want to spend $300 and I'll use a free night certificate on those situations. Does that make sense? Because I want everyone to use, and now I've just saved myself $300 where I thought I would have to. Because if I use points, they would have charged me maybe even more points. But if I use a free night certificate, I can maximize it. Because they don't care when I use a free night certificate. If the room rate was $100, $200, $300, it doesn't matter. They let you use it because it's a free night at that hotel. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I will say this, Ben. I have had this problem with Marriott. I mean, I have got so many points on Marriott and the free nights and all the things. And then you try to redeem them and they're like, well, they don't apply to this particular hotel. And they give you like all these other hotels that you don't want to stay in those hotels. And Macy is constantly telling me, that you need to switch over to Hilton. So I couldn't wait to hear you tonight. And it's kind of interesting that you brought that up. So basically we're hearing that you can do anything with you can stay anywhere with the Hilton. Marriott, you're going to be limited.
Marriott has a 35,000 point certificate. They have a 50,000 point certificate. They have an 85,000 point certificate. So they have different levels of certificate depending on what credit card you get. I would say this. This is what I would say, Wendy, and I think this is smart for everyone listening. You should book the room as early as possible. As early as possible, because the cancellation is free. Let me repeat. Yes. When cancellation is free, that means you could hold that room for your own doing and what your own bidding for a year if you want to. And at any given time, Wendy, you can cancel it. So you know what would happen normally? Someone else got to that night certificate. So what happens with this? With Marriott, with Hyatt, with exception Hilton, they will allow you to book a base room, which means the base room may be the Garden View to double queen, okay? And if it's anything higher than that, they may not have availability for that free night certificate or with points. So that's what's happening, okay? So if somebody cancels, you can... Here's one thing you can do, Wendy, just to help you fix that. You can send alerts. Just because it's not available, you can send an alert. There are hotelalerts.com. You can set that. There actually is websites that will create an alert, and you can tell them that hotel on that date, and they'll send you alert in an email to say, hey, that hotel just opened up. So you're not relegated to any hotel just because they tell you. You could be able to get notified when that happens.
Hotelalerts.com.
Yeah. Correct. Try that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're finding me, you're figuring me out, Ben. I am kind of a last minute booker.
Yeah. And you know what? I understand about last minute booking, but here's the thing. There's no disadvantage. I would say if you could book it out a year in advance and just hold it, then it'll be there. Now, I'll say this. There is an advantage to booking last minute because I book last minute all the time. Like tonight's was an extension. So I did book it last minute. I literally booked it for the following day. But I will find that folks who do last minute need to be more of a ninja. You can do it, but you need to understand all the rules. If you are a big planner, so there's two kinds of people who plan in advance and people who book last minute. If you are in a last minute booker and you want flexibility because you don't want to be tied down to reservation, you absolutely need to learn the game. Because if you learn the game, you will also get sometimes the best prices too, because a hotel rate will go up and down. I mean, let's say, for example, if there's somebody called the director at a hotel, there is a director of revenue, okay? And their job is to actually determine what the rate of that hotel is, because they'll look at other hotels in the area. And if it's really slow, the hotel has rooms that will not be fulfilled. And if they're not full, then they lose revenue. So they have to drop the rate down sometimes to get people to fill up. So they didn't understand that. So you don't, it's not always a disadvantage to book late. I'm just saying that if you're trying to use points, use the right one. Another thing I would mention too, and I'm gonna talk what Leanne talked about, which is Hyatt has one of the best loyalty programs for elites. Number two, they also have the most valuable points. So you don't have to redeem so many points. So you have, let's just say this. Let's say you sign up for a Chase Sapphire preferred card right now with 75,000 points. If you were to use that to make it into a hotel, you would probably get two nights at an airport with that at a Marriott, most likely. Let's say about 35,000 points. That would get you two nights at an airport hotel. If you use it for Hyatt, that Hyatt room would be 15,000 points. So you can get five nights. So three Marriott nights or five Hyatt nights. Which one do you rather have? You know, so I would say that you're going to be better off that way when you're looking at how to redeem. And then the good thing, and they'll have the same situation, Wendy. You got to make sure you book it as early as possible. If it's a popular property, and everyone in God's earth knows about the property, like the Phoenician in Scottsdale, yeah, that thing's going to go. Yeah, it's going to go. But if you pick like the Royal Palms that maybe not people may know about, and Hyatt has a much smaller footprint, you're going to find that you're going to get upgraded more often too. Like, I'm sure, this is because I've been a Marriott Platinum for many years. When I go up to a Marriott and I'm trying to get an upgrade at the counter and talk to them, there's probably a titanium to my left and a titanium to my right. Okay. That's just the reality. And they have higher status. They're probably going to get it. I'm like on an upgrade list. I'm probably like number 10 down on the list. Okay. You get upgraded. But if you're a globalist going to Hyatt, their footprint is a tenth of Marriott's, but they're at the places you always want to be at. And they usually have really good quality properties. And when you're a globalist, they treat you like your ambassador, you know, so from Marriott. So it's a fantastic program. I really encourage people to take a look at it. And I run a class just, you know, specifically on folks who want to learn more about that.
Well, Ben, I got to ask you this. Give us one tip that you have used to upgrade your rooms in this luxury travel. And I could jump in, but okay. I want to hear what you're going up to check in. What is your tactic? You guys got to listen. This guy's okay. Brilliant.
I'll say this. Before we go to the property, I like to do homework ahead of time and learn about the property. Because the more that you know about the property, the better you have at getting an upgrade. So let's just start. If we're going to talk about upgrades and hotels, I would say this. Number one, reach out to the property ahead of time. When you reach out to the property ahead of time, rather than waiting until the last minute, it's this. It's like an airline. Would you rather get upgraded 2-3 days ahead of time before your flight, or would you rather get upgraded right at the gate? You know, nobody wants to sweat out the gate.
This group loves a good upgrade. Tell us all the secrets about the upgrade.
So let's talk about upgrade for a second. If you want to improve your chances of the upgrade, you need to get the room before they assign it to somebody else. Like, hey, that's the first rule. Let's take a look. Let's say I have a room. Okay, I'll give you. If we have a hotel which has 300 rooms, how many rooms, you should know, how many rooms of the 300 rooms has a suite? Because if you don't know that number, it's going to be really difficult for you to kind of press. Okay, so when I go to a hotel and I talk to management, whenever it is, I have a chance, I always ask them, oh, how many rooms are there? How many are suites? Front desk knows that. Housekeeping knows that. There's a lot of people in the hotel will know that number. Like, that's a normal thing for them to know. You should know that property. So if you want to get upgraded, you should try to figure out what that is. So I will say this. The average is 10%. So if there is 300 rooms, there's probably 20 to 30 suites, okay? All sorts. Could it be less than that? Yes. It could be as low as 5%, but it'll usually go as high as up to 10%. So knowing that, you want to improve your chances. Number one, do not go when people are going to buy out all the suites. If people are going to buy out all the suites, you're going to have a little higher lower chance. So here's the thing. Sunday through Thursday, which is a weekdays. Sunday starts a weekday already because that goes into Monday. Sunday through Thursday is your best chance of getting a suite rather than a Friday, Saturday. Why? Because Friday, Saturday, people coming in, it's a lot. It's at full occupancy. You're going to have a higher chance of them not having a room for you. So if you want a suite, go with that one. Number two, go with less days rather than long days. Meaning that, I mean, if you're going to get an upgrade, you're going to have a higher chance of getting it if you're only staying for 2 nights than if you stay for 7 nights. Because for 7 nights, they would have to give you that room for 7 nights for free. What are the chances they're going to have that room not sold out? Let me just clarify. They want to sell the suite. But if they don't sell the suite, Wendy, then why not give it to a loyal customer? Why not give it to someone that they like? Okay, so here's my next thing. Now that we know the basics, how do we get an upgrade? The first thing, you want to talk to somebody who has the power to upgrade you. Okay, that's the first. First, they have to have the power to upgrade you. Number two, they have to want to do that. Two things. Number one, power to upgrade you. Two, they have to want to. Now, first one, people who have the power to do that. Is that the front desk person? Probably not. Okay? So you're talking to the wrong person already. If you walk up to the front desk and you just – now, if they happen to be front desk manager, if they happen to be operation manager, if they happen to be a GM, but it's rare. Most of the people you're going to talk to front line, they get asked it all the time, and the front line people don't have the authority or the power to give you a free upgrade sometimes. Okay? So you need to get someone who has the power to upgrade you. So that's first. Two, they have to want to do it for you. So if they like you, they can do it. See, they all love Leanne. Leanne chats with them, talks with them, and she gets it. But you got to get those two things. One, the right person. Two, is that they like you and they want to do it for you. Okay, so there could be a couple reasons why they want to do it for you. So this opens up a whole thing. They could want to do it for you just because they like you. They may like your story. They may feel compelled to do something special for you because it's special. Or number four, okay, and this is because they screwed up and they want to make it up to you. So then they upgrade you. Does that make sense? Okay, so these are the reasons. Anyone have questions on this so far? So far, so good?
Okay.
So what do we do next? I would say you should reach out to them prior to arrival. If you could reach out to them prior to arrival, that takes a little homework, but find out who's in power. That could be the top person is a general manager. The number two in the hotel is typically the operation manager or the resort manager or the hotel manager, okay? So it depends on the property. It could be the operation manager, but they're usually number two. Then below them, they're responsible for front desk, food and beverage, housekeeping. Like, everyone reports to operation. Operation manager should be the one there. I actually like the operation manager. The reason I say that is because the operation manager wants to be the general manager one day. He needs to impress his boss. Does it make sense? And most of the time, operation manager, the number two in a hotel, probably is not going to become the operation, the general manager there. You know what they're probably going to do? They're probably going to look at another hotel, and the other hotel is going to steal them away, and they're going to move to another hotel to be general manager. That operation manager is the hungriest person in the property because they're almost there. They're almost there at the top level. They've probably spent 10 to 15 years of their life at a hotel hospitality world, so they know their stuff. They understand the upgrade game. They understand the valuable people. So here's the other thing. Wendy, Macy, Lynn, everyone who's listening to this, this is like I'm giving you a core piece of what my masterclass about hotels is this. You are all VIPs. Let me repeat. You are all VIPs. You wouldn't even be in this room if you're not a VIP. I'm just telling you right now. I already know this. Nobody's in this room if they're not VIP. So here's the thing. When you write your letter to them, your pre-arrival letter, I call it the pre-arrival letter. When you write your pre-arrival letter, you are trying to explain to them who you are. Number two, why they should like you, right? So two things. So what's the first thing I want? I want you to explain to them what is the value that you bring by coming to this property. Number one, the value you bring to the property is that you're an influencer. Now, I use the word influencer very broadly. I don't mean influencer like Leanne here, okay? I don't mean it like Leanne, like Credit Ninja, okay? What I mean by influence is this. Is not everyone listening to this call right now? Is not everyone listening to this call right now the travel person in their group? Yes or no? Mary, Macy, Wendy, are you not the travel person in your group? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
Okay, so from that perspective, just from that small perspective, you influence everyone around you. If you told them don't ever show up at that hotel again, do you think your friends are ever going to go book that place? No, right? And if you told them this is the hotel you want to stay when you go to Mazatlan, they're going to do it too because they go, Wendy says this is the one you got to go stay at. I'm going to stay at. Why am I going to go risk it when they've already done it, right? Does that make sense? Most people are not ready to make that decision. Okay, so knowing that, you are the person that went there. Your expectations or your experience at that hotel is going to determine whether all your friends come here or not. Yes or no?
Absolutely, 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because okay, we're talkers.
So you are the influencer so far. Everyone follow me so far? We're all influencers, okay? So with that in mind, you need to fill out a survey. Because how can you communicate whether they did well, they did terrible, or they need improvement without filling a survey? So I'm going to recommend, I always tell all my students, you got to fill out the survey. And here's the thing, and it sounds simple, right, Wendy? But can I tell you something? If I'm the general manager and I'm operation manager, my job is to train everyone in the group, right? That's my job. My job is to train everyone. So how do I know if they actually delivered? I get that back in the form of a what? A survey. Because does the general manager walk the – not all, but some do. The general manager generally not walking the ground and see – maybe the operation manager – and they rarely get proactive, positive compliments. You know what they usually get? Negative compliments, negative complaints about people who screwed up. Yes or no? Is that true? Right?
100%, yeah. Yeah.
This one was slow. I had to wait so long for my thing. They didn't give me the room. The room was dirty. There's always negative coming up. If you're that person, Wendy, if you're that person, Macy, that says, I'm going to give, in my letter that I'm reaching out, I'm letting you know, I'm going to notate in the survey. Why? Because now they know. It's almost like this. Think about this, Wendy. Think about this, Macy. What if I owned a restaurant and the food critic actually told me the day and time that they're coming? Would I love it if I'm the owner of the restaurant? Because yes. How would I prepare my team? How would I prepare my team if I actually knew that the reviewer was coming? And that's what I want to do. So when I teach my students, as I said, you're going to let them know you're coming. This is the date you're checking in. This is the date checking out. You're going to fill out the survey. It's almost like a gimme. So what kind of room do you think they want to give you? They're going to give you the room that you want. Whether you have status or you don't have status, it doesn't matter anymore. Some people say to me, "Dad, I don't have status." I said, it kind of doesn't, it helps. You know what I use status for? Opens the door. Opening the door. Why does it opening the door? Because when I say opening the door, it means this. I use status to say to them that I'm a valuable member and I like to stay at hotels and I like to come back. That's all it says. It doesn't mean anything. It just says this. I know you want me to book directly. I do. You want me to stay at your hotel? I do. I do all that stuff. But here I'm going to give you something that all the other people who stay at your hotels don't do. I'm going to give you feedback. The feedback is super, super, super important for management. For management. And that's the person that has the right to upgrade you and want to upgrade you. Have I already given them the reason why they should upgrade me? Yes. Do they like me already? Yes. And I already kind of told them I'm going to give them, and I'll tell you, send my letter to, you know, I know when I asked for this room, executive suite room, is, you know, this is kind of above and beyond. I know this is not something you normally do for everyone, but I would really appreciate this. And my wife would really appreciate that. Or my daughter would really appreciate that. And then here's the thing. I don't tell them it's my birthday. I know a lot of people like to say, it's my birthday, it's my birthday. Listen, I'm not saying your birthday is not important. My birthday is important. For us, it's important to us. But think about the hotel. You understand how many people come to hotels because it's their birthday? That's the reason why they're coming to stay at a hotel. It's because it's their birthday or it's their anniversary. I'm not saying that to downplay that and not mention that. Of course you want to mention that. But I think you should mention something beyond that, meaning that you should mention something that's going to stand out. Let me give you an example. During the pandemic, when nobody was traveling, I would write a letter and I would say, I'm doing my annual father-daughter trip with my daughter. So my wife usually goes with us everywhere. So it's usually the three of us. But once a year, I'll do a trip where my wife goes somewhere. She does something with her girlfriends. And I use that as an opportunity to take my daughter. So we call our father-daughter trip. And the first time I took her was to Big Island. So I took her Big Island. I couldn't believe it. I flew my daughter first time all the way to Hawaii. And you know what? When I was on the plane, the flight attendants, they told us, I told the flight attendants, they were like, where's mom? I'm like, mom's not, it's a father-daughter trip. And, oh, they loved it. And then the hotels took care of us. Everyone I told that this is what we were doing, they loved it. They like went out of their way to make it a great experience for us. And I'm going to tell you, when I told the GM that, he's like, oh, wow, that's great. I'd love to do that. I wish I got to do that, or I want to do that, or it's a great idea. And I made it special to him. I told him, this is our first time in Big Island, first time doing it together, first time without mom. You know, can you be able to help us out? I like, you know, she likes to run around. I can't do it. I kind of played helpless dad a little bit on my letter, but they came for me. They took care of me. And that's what they're going to do for you when you tell them. So if you had cancer and this is your first trip since you had to survive cancer, you should tell them that. That's important. They want to go out of the way. People in hospitality are in hospitality for a reason. It's because they love people. So give them the story and they will try to make it special for you. And I think that's something I want to share. That is different than the airline game, because in the airline game, you got a different pilot every time, different gate agent, different flight attendants every time you get on a plane. But in hotel, they're there for at least a good 2-3 years. The same staff, the same people, the same management.
That's a great point. And it's a chance
to build relationships.
That's a great point. The hotel staff stay around. I'm over here typing my notes and all the things. I just sent an email to a friend saying, you got to check this out.
Anyway, oh my gosh. I think I'm like at time. I mean, we covered everything, but I gave you guys, I went off top a little bit, but I think it was really important.
I got to highlight this. Okay. You mentioned this letter and it has to be very thoughtful, and it's the pregame, right, Macy? It's the pregame. But the important thing is, because the staff is very, they'll stay around for a year or two. Another tip I can add to what Ben's saying is remember their name. So in your phone, create a contact that says Hyatt Hawaii or Hyatt Arizona or, you know, Waldorf Astoria, Arizona, put their name. Because the next time that you come in, they're like, hey, Joe, how you been? How's your dog? And they're like, automatic upgrade. And I can vouch for Ben and myself. We only stay at Presidential Suite or the highest oceanfront suite 1,000% of the time. So Ben is the real deal, guys. And he's on TV and you're speaking on these stations and so forth. Can you touch on your TV appearance thing? And then I want to touch on the Thailand thing. I know Wendy has a question about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, dying to hear about the Thailand, dying to hear about Presidential Suite.
Can I just mention, I'm here because of, I told you at the beginning, Macy's, sometimes things go wrong. Okay, so I came to this hotel. It was on a Friday night at 10. So all the best rooms are already taken because I came in late. Okay, so my other advice to people, if you want a better room, get there early rather than late. Okay, so that's my first thing. Unless you already got pre-booked into a room, then that's a different story. But I booked this last minute, Winnie, just like you were talking about. I got a standard room. When I got into the room, my wife noticed that the room, the sheets were a little bit dirty, like they were thrown in. Oh, my wife was like, lost it with me. She's like, I can't sleep. She's like, call. Okay. Two times we called. Somebody came, didn't come. No one could fix it. So I had to run down. I had to go down to the front desk and say, listen, nobody's come up yet. And at that point, I said, I need to bring somebody up. They brought up, they changed the sheets and everything. I wrote a letter to the GM because here's my other thing. I always write it while we're here. Never leave. Always do it while you're still at the property. I wrote a letter. The next morning, it was like 11 o'clock at night. By 6 o'clock in the morning, oh, by the way, I couldn't find him, so I found him on LinkedIn. So I found the GM's info on LinkedIn. I sent him a note. He responds back to me. He apologizes, says, I'm going to have the operations manager talk to you. Has operations manager called me. We talked. So I got upgraded for – so that's what we call a service failure, okay? I got something called service recovery. Remember I told you they upgrade you when something goes wrong? So I told them, they said it's unacceptable. Boom, upgrade to the oceanfront, two bedroom, you know, everything, right? So that's one. And I said, can you do it for the rest of the stay? He says, yes, we absolutely can do it for the rest of the stay. I tried to negotiate also for some kind of credit for the night. I'm always say this, how much should you ask for? You should ask whatever makes you happy. Okay, that's my answer to you. Whatever makes you happy. If it's a room credit, is it free parking? You know, I asked him, I said, I'm only gold because I don't stay enough Marriott's nowadays. I used to. But I'm only gold. I don't have free breakfast. Could you be able to throw in free breakfast for the rest of the stay? They said yes. So now I got free breakfast. That's now $120 now I'm getting. And they have a fantastic breakfast over here. Fantastic. Like a huge and everything. And so I got free breakfast, a free upgrade. And I only paid the base room, which was like $130 a night. So I got paid $130, but jumped up to the best room and they got free breakfast.
Hey, they paid you to stay there, Ben. Okay, they paid you to stay there. So let's just get that right. Wendy, you have a question for him about Thailand? I want to hear this question.
Yeah,
I know that everyone has so many questions about the hotel stays and the airline stays, but we are limited on time. And I want to also get into a little bit about your expat, as I call it, living in another country and maximizing your money. And apparently you are one of the experts on Thailand. Can you talk to us a little bit about that before we have to shut this room down?
Oh, yes, for sure. I love Thailand. I've been probably 23 times now, and I've been going since I was a little kid. It's something that I wanted to really share. I think there's a lot of things that many people would like to go to Thailand, but love to. What is the specific, maybe what is it you'd like to, maybe I can kind of touch upon more about Thailand.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to know give me the top three cities that I must see.
Okay.
And I want to know if you were going to make a move to Thailand, I want to know which city would be the best to live in, that I would get the most for my money, the best medical care, the safest for my family. Those are the questions I need to know.
Well, I think number one, I think Thailand is safe in general as a country. I don't really think it's probably one of the safest countries in the world. I don't think you'll ever feel like whether that you're in a big city or a small town. Number two, I think your question about what cities to go and move to, I think really depends. I'll mention the three big cities. One is Bangkok, which is their capital. If you're looking for like all the services that you would need, whether it be hospital, whether that be, you know, shopping, malls, different kind of food, international food, along with having fantastic Thai food as well, I think you really can't beat Bangkok from that perspective. I think there's that. From a cost of living perspective, you could probably book, you could probably rent a 2-3 bedroom condo for anywhere between 1,000 to 1,500, maybe even if you're really pushing a super luxury one, but it's super affordable. So I think from American perspective, I think it's really affordable. If you go down south to what they call Phuket, which is more of a beach town, I would make that equivalent to what would be like Playa del Carmen. You know, if you go down Phuket,
I love going there.
Yes.
Yeah, Macy's favorite. She talks about it all the time.
Phuket is, in my opinion, going to be the next medical tourism part for Thailand. Like, there's quite a bit of that right now. They're trying to build that out. The biggest challenge they have is, like, in any town, it's there's a lot of growth, and I don't think they have all the roads infrastructure as well. So sometimes there's traffic from that perspective. I would stay closer to the north side, the area they call Laguna. The Laguna area is probably a kind of a more fancy, lots of expats in that area as well. And I would say all throughout Thailand, ever since Vietnam War, there have been lots of Americans, lots of Europeans, Russian, Chinese, Indian. I mean, it's all sorts of international folks there. So, and not a problem, too, if you need international schools. They have that as well. So not a challenge there. And then the very last part is all the way up north in what we call Chiang Mai. Chiang Mai is like our version of Costa Rica. It is rainforest. It's lots of temples, the city of temples. It's actually more
and the
affordable.
The elephant nature park.
The elephant nature park. Lots of elephants.
My friend owns that, so I love it.
Yeah. So if you're going up there, of the three, Chiang Mai is probably the most affordable part, and the weather is a little bit more mild. So maybe it's 10 degrees cooler there than it would be in Bangkok. So it's not as hot. So folks may like that as well. Now there's a fourth I will bring up, which is called Samui. Koh Samui is an island off of Thailand, and lots of expats move there too. They want to kind of live an island life away from everything else. There's that island that's Koh Samui. So those are like the three or four that I mentioned.
Okay, when's your next event? I know that you host a VIP tour. Can you let people know what month it is in and how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah.
This is important.
So I would say that December and January are the two best months to go visit Thailand if you're going to go for the first time or any time. It's just not as hot. I'm going to run it in toward the middle to end, January 17 to 26. We're going to cover Bangkok, Ayutthaya, the old capital. We'll get dressed up like we're going to go to like the ruins and get dressed up like the nobility back in the 1500 in costumes. We'll do a photo shoot. We're going to do like a Michelin star cruise tour through the river. It's going to be fantastic. I'll take you through a tuk-tuk, which is like these motorcycle carriages that they'll take you through the city. We'll do a food tour as well. So we're going to do the street food and some of the Michelin foods, that as well. I'll say this. It's probably as much a food. This is a eating expedition with cultural put in between. And then we'll go down south four more days, and we'll do a catamaran and boats, and we'll do island hopping. It'll be a lot of fun and see temples along the way as well. It'll be great.
Rhett Butler, if you're in the house, I know you are wanting to get, I don't know if he can hear me, but I think we're going to be on board for that.
Yeah.
So hey, let's take a couple questions. I'm sorry. Do we have anyone that wants to jump in? We'll take a couple questions before we close this down. Go ahead and jump in, guys, because sometimes we don't see your hands. Anybody want to jump in? Go for it. Anything about hotel, travel? He's the GOAT, guys. I'm telling you.
Hey, Ben.
Yes. Yeah,
I have a question for you because I'm Wendy's. She's my boss, so I have a question for Thailand.
My husband, Rhett Butler.
Thailand. So we've been looking for an alternative to the United States to have a second home. Where do you have a second home that will provide A, the security, which has seemed pretty safe, and B, good food, and it seems like for the dollar, it's much more valuable. Like my friend said, it's 33 cents on the dollar. My son went over and said it's the best thing ever. We want to be close to golf, close to good restaurants, and easy accessibility to the airport.
Yeah, so there are a couple ways. If you want to pay your way into Thailand, they have something called the Thai Elite Visa, which you can be able to get for either 5 year or 10 years. It does cost some money, but then it's, if you just want the easiest way in, there's that way. There's other ways you can do that. There's also like digital nomad types. There's also, you know, visas that you can renew 6 months to 18 months at every time. They have those as well. And then they also have one, like if you open a business up and you want to employ like 10 Thai nationals, you can also have their, you know, you can have that as long as you have the business there. So there's various ways that you could be able to stay there long term as well. So there's that if you're looking to stay there. And in terms of security and safety, they have those things. They have, you know, you can, I'll just say this, most Thais themselves, they're middle class, will have a driver and a housekeeper nanny. Okay. So like that's not uncommon for middle class. So if you can bring your American dollar, you would have a car, a driver, you know, like you could probably hire a driver for, you know, less than $500 a month, you know, so it's something like that.
What did you say? So for, let's say, a 5 or 10 year, let's say we want to live there 6 months out of the year. And a lot of the audience might be interested in this. Yeah. What does that cost to have a 5 or 10 year visa?
Yeah. So if you do the 18 month visa that you're talking about, you can do what they call the digital nomad visa, which you could be able to get 6 months, then you renew it and you can renew it again. So that's simple, that most, you know, if you have some kind of money and some kind of assets that you can show, you could do that pretty easily. They call the digital travel visa, or digital nomad travel visa is what they've been calling it. There is the Thai elite one that I mentioned that you can get for 5 years, 10 years. I think that's like 10 grand, but it also comes here. If you do that one, because I have a friend of mine who works there, you also get like free rounds of golf. They also have expedited security every time you leave. When you arrive to the airport, they give you like transfers home. And so it's like, it's not just a visa. Like they have a whole program around it. And by the way, if you love golf, Rhett, golf, I just brought my buddy who came on the last trip that we did that I sponsored. He did a day of golf extra and he said he loved it. He's a Korean guy. He loves golf. And he's like, oh my God, I got to bring all my Korean friends here. He's like, they'll like normally drive you the cart, but they'll hold the umbrella for you for the sun. They'll wipe the ball. Like they do everything for you.
Customer service in Thailand will ruin you.
Yeah, it will. It will. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we have Anne. Sorry, Anne has that question.
Sorry.
Credit. I love this because I've been telling Wendy at least 3 to 4 months of the year we should live in Thailand because Ben and Macy, you can vouch for this. The people are a little bit friendlier. The cost of goods is probably 30 to 35%, and your accommodations are the same or nicer for anything you'll get here. So is that wrong, Ben or Macy? You can tell me.
Yeah, there's two types of places you can stay. You can either stay at a luxury hotel, and the luxury hotels will have better amenities, but the room will be smaller. If you find maybe an older condo, not as much public amenities like the gym, the pool and all that, but the rooms will be bigger. And yes, you could run anywhere between 1500. I don't know how well or how nice you want it, but I mean, like on the high end of nice is $2,000, and which would probably be like 3,000 or 4,000. So it's at least half, if not more than half, off of what you'd probably pay here in the United States.
Is that 2,000 for how long?
No, I mean, depending on what you're staying, you know, how you're staying at. Like, if you want a 3-bedroom, 2-bath luxury apartment with, you know, security with the nice pool. I don't know if you've seen any of the videos that you see online, but they run really, really nice, you know, and they could be like 2,000 a month is what I meant. Yeah. You can, by the way,
that's what Wendy spends in a day. I mean, that's a really good deal for us. That's
yeah, it is. Yeah, $2,000 can get you a very, very nice place, but you don't have to go.
You can
do $1,000. You can do $1,000 a month. You know,
you can have a full time chef there for absolutely nothing. It's amazing.
You don't really need a full time chef where the food is having. I'll tell you, I don't think most Thais actually cook at home because it's so affordable to eat out that most people usually eat out. I'll just say that that's what usually happens.
Okay, we have Anne, come on in.
Thanks, Credit.
Welcome, Anne.
Hi, Ben. This is Anne. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Anne.
My question is, how do you get the best deals for Dara Devi in Chiang Mai?
That's a nice property.
Beautiful.
I will say this. I am a luxury travel advisor. We have programs with some of the top hotels, and what we do is we offer the standard rate. Okay, so you can't get the, it's not a elevated or more than what the standard rate would be, but you would get a room upgrade. You get $100 credit, you know, when you're there, also to use on the property. You also get free breakfast for two. You also get early check-in and late check-out at four. So those are some of the things that we can give you extra. I can't really offer like a extra discount or maybe, but it's definitely something that we could be able to help you with. If you want to reach out to me, more than happy to help you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Sounds like a place we need to be checking out, right?
Yeah, there are fantastic properties out there. 130 Fillers, 138.
Look around.
Some of them, yeah, Thais are very much artists, and some of the hotels reflect that.
I love it.
Well, this has been amazing. I've just learned so much.
We can't. Well, I want to. Ben, where can everyone find you? I know you have Ben's Big Deals on Instagram. Is that the main place everybody needs to go?
And the website, Ben's
Big Deals.
Same title.
Yeah. So whether I would say that I'm primarily on IG, but I do, I also post on TikTok and Facebook as well. And then my website, I run a mentorship. So weekly, I have some of the best people in the world of travel joining us. This week, I have Julia Menez talking about being content creator. And I got Nick from Frequent Miler, who's joining me this week as well to talk about his JetBlue challenge. JetBlue is offering a challenge right now that says if you fly to their 25 destinations, you will earn their elite status for 25 years and earn 350,000 JetBlue miles. And so he's making a run for it. So I have people like that every single week in my mentorship. So I run it every week and we talk about how to improve. And my goal is to help them become the best travelers possible.
I love it. Well, everyone, take a look at Ben's Instagram and, of course, his website. We thank you so much for joining us today and giving us all the insight into the travel world, especially the insight into traveling to Thailand, which is a place that we are really interested in going, Rhett and I. And Macy talks about it all the time. And I do want to, again, thank our sponsors, William and Harry Golf, luxury brand, exotic golf shoes, Smarter Aircraft, Next Generation, and Private Aviation Investments, smarteraircraft.com. Please be sure to check out those websites when you get a chance. We appreciate our sponsors very much. Thank you, Stephanie. Stephanie's given us a...
And Ben wanted to say one last thing. Go ahead, Ben. Yeah.
Ben, are you a golfer?
I am not really. I go to golf to make everyone feel better about themselves.
I like that.
I want to add this. Maybe for another time, but I'd love to come talk to you. I've been doing a lot of media training lately, and one of the things I've learned, I'd love to share with you folks, because I think most people ultimately would love to say that they made it on MSNBC or made it on Fox News or whatever they're on, you know, and be able to get on television and get media. But I'd love to share that maybe another time and talk to folks about what are the tips so that they can get written up as an expert in publications like U.S. News World Report or Time or Forbes and things like that. I'd love to help you with that.
They all want us, Ben, and we're just trying to get away from it. We don't want to be downloaded. Wendy, Macy, and Credit, they're big time, Ben. I mean, so they're trying to get away from that, which is cool. That's fine.
I don't think so. I think we would love that.
Let's take a picture. Here we go. Don't close your eyes. Here we go. All right, I grabbed some. I'm going to share it with the group. Thank you so much, guys. See you guys next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Thank you to our studio audience. Be sure to check us out every single week on Chatter Social as a part of our live audience at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every week on Chatter. You guys have a good night.
Ben, you are awesome. I'm just telling you, these people that this is going to get replayed unbelievable amount of time because that was very informative. You're very informative. Thank you so much.
You guys have a good night. We'll see you next Tuesday. Bye. helps.